Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. One word title for the message tonight. That one word is faith. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read just the first three verses and look at the subject of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The book of Hebrews is such a fascinating book. I know I preached the last two Sunday mornings from Hebrews chapter 10. We're not beginning a study of Hebrews. If we were, we wouldn't have started in chapter 10. We'd started chapter 1. But I've just been fascinated as I read through it again this last time. It's that the great truths that are here. In the book of Hebrews, Paul is introducing us to some great new things. Look back at chapter 1, if you would. Hebrews chapter 1. Just as we kind of summarize this evening. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. You see the contrast there? Paul is telling us that we have a superior person. All right? In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. But now, we have something better. And that word better is in the book of Hebrews many, many times. We have something better than the prophets. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's spoken to us. We've been studying on Sunday evenings the book of 1 John. And that which we have heard, declare we unto you. That which John heard from Jesus Christ Himself, He's telling us, in Him is God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So we have a superior person. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. Over to chapter 10. The first six chapters are, chapter 7. The first six chapters are all about that we have a superior person. In chapter 7, we have a superior priesthood. And that goes from chapter 7 to chapter 10. And that's what we touched on the last two Sunday mornings. We talked about the Old Testament covenant with the priest that had to go into the Holy of Holies and make the sacrifice, and people had to go through a priest and all those things. But now we don't do that any longer. Now we have a priest. We have a high priest who is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need a human priest. And that begins in chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all. We have a superior priesthood, something better than the man-made priesthood of the Old Testament. So a superior priesthood, chapters 1 to 6, a superior person, chapter 1 to 6, a superior priesthood, chapter 7 to 10. Then that brings us to chapter 11, now faith. And we call that a superior principle. Now, faith. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in the Old Testament times where faith was not emphasized? I'm not going to try to explain that. And obviously here in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a lot of faith exemplified in the Old Testament. But just take this for example. The word faith appears 247 times in the Bible. 245 of those are in the New Testament. Only two times in the Old Testament. One of those is the one we know in Habakkuk, for the just shall live by faith. The faith was not emphasized in the Old Testament. It is basically a New Testament truth. Now, it was there in the Old Testament because faith has always been around. Everybody practices faith every single day. You practice faith tonight. When you walked in the doors of this building, you trusted, you had faith that the architect that designed this did it right. You understand, right under your feet is a few feet of a few inches of cement, and then there's a big open chasm right under that. I don't want you to get nervous or scared, but right under our floor is a bunch of kids down there playing, and there's just a little bit of cement separating you from them. Had someone not designed that good, we would be. And when you walked in, we don't walk into church and, you know, kind of like pool water, try it first and make sure it's going to hold up. We just come walking in the door expecting it's going to hold us up. Now, we're doing that now by experience sake, but the first time we came in, we just believed it was going to do that. This ceiling that's over our head could easily drop down any time. Are you nervous yet? Wouldn't it be great if I somehow, as a prank, I could have a corner of it fall right now or something? That would really get your attention, wouldn't it? I wouldn't want the repair bill, but that would get our attention. We come in here, we have no problem. We have faith that the architect designed that in such a way that it's going to stay up there, and we don't even think twice about coming in here. When you sat in your pew, you didn't test it to make sure. You know, we've all seen the example of the chair. Every time you sit in a chair, you know, a big body like this on four little tiny legs like that sitting on it, but we don't check them and make sure. We just plop down in there and figure we have faith the chair is going to hold us up. We are trusting the architect. We're trusting the builders. We're trusting the products, the materials. We have faith that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. We practice faith every day. Maybe you put a letter in the mailbox today and put the little red flag up. Can I tell you? That's faith. You have faith that the postmaster is going to get that letter and it's going to go where it's supposed to go in a short amount of time. You're living by faith every time you do that. We're living by faith every time we make a deposit into the bank, because we're living in precarious times and it's no telling what could happen. See, faith is a daily part of our life. But all those elements of faith are not the kind of faith that Hebrews 11 is talking about. It's talking about a biblical faith or a spiritual faith. Not a faith in mankind. I trust that when I go out to my car and put the key in the ignition, or in these fancy new ones, touch the button, the car's going to start. I have faith that it's going to be that way, that the vehicle is going to run to get me home. We exercise faith all the time without even thinking about it. But that's not the important kind of faith, because faith in those objects is really not that big a deal. I mean, it is, but it isn't. If I go out and my car doesn't start, it's not the end of the world. I just call Kevin tomorrow and we get a new car lined up. It's just that simple, all right? It's easy. We got that all fixed. But what we put our faith in for the saving of our soul, can I tell you that's important? More important than whether the floor is going to hold us or the ceiling is going to stay up or the car is going to start or the mail is going to get there or the money is going to be in the bank. When it comes to the saving of our soul, faith is vitally important. And it matters what we put our faith in. If you are a Muslim, you put your faith in the Quran. You put your faith in Muhammad. I saw yesterday, I was at the Pilot gas station, since Sheets is out of commission here in town right now. I stopped at the Pilot gas station the other day, and a big semi was pulling out. And on the side, right below the driver's door, was a giant picture, and I think it was Osama bin Laden, standing in front of a Muslim mosque. Now, I don't know if it was him. Got to be careful. All those guys look alike, all right? Got to be careful. But those, you know, Muslim guys like that with the long beard, the white hat, and all that kind of stuff. But this guy's, it's right on the side of his semi-truck that, not the trailer, but his truck itself. It's right on the side of it. And I thought, boy, I would think that'd be risky in this day and this age, the way things are. He's got faith that that's going to protect him. All right? That's faith in a wrong object. All right? Faith in the Quran, faith in Muhammad, faith in bin Laden or anybody else. That's misplaced faith. We have to have faith, but we got to have faith in the right thing. Catholic folks put their faith in their statues. They'll pray to Christopher. They'll pray to the different ones, the different saints of the different things and all that. And that's misplaced faith. That's faith that has no substance. Faith that has no evidence. We'll talk about that in just a moment. It goes down the ladder, the humanists today. And boy, aren't they. If you don't know what humanism is, humanism is what society follows. All right? What is popular with mankind, humanism, all humans. I saw the USA newspaper today. And if you ever want to know what humanism is, turn on the newscast, the regular stations, pick up a newspaper, and the front page of today's USA newspaper was a professional football player for the Oakland, are they the Oakland Raiders? I can't remember. You guys, Twitch City, Las Vegas Raiders, whatever they are, whoever they are now. Anyways, one of those guys that was from Penn State has openly come out as being gay. And the front page of the newspaper made a big article on that. And then two or three different commentators wrote their input on that. Then when you went to the sports section, where maybe that should have been, if anywhere, that was the whole front section and second page of that newspaper. You say, what is it? That's humanism. That's society pushing their values. And as soon as I turned the page away from that in the sports section, the next one was about transgenderism in competition and all that stuff. And of course, humanism is all for that stuff, which just blows my mind. All those years of women's rights, women's rights, women's rights, and now a man can be a woman and beat all the women in the race and win and get the medal. It makes no sense. Humanism makes no sense whatsoever. And yet people have hope in that. They have faith in that. They think they're going to change society with that. That's a misplaced faith. It is faith, but it's misplaced faith. The philosopher will put his faith in his own ideas, his own thoughts, his own concepts. The materialist will put faith in his accumulation, his money, his things, the value of his home, the value of his automobiles. Everybody has faith in something. The important thing is to have faith in the right thing. All of these folks that are exercising faith in all of these things that are empty and vain, because there's only one place that you can put your faith that's going to save your soul and secure your eternity. Look, if you would, here in the book of Acts chapter 4, a very familiar verse, and yet appropriate for what we're talking about right now. With all that the world is looking at and all that people are looking at in the world, the one place they should be looking, the singular place they should be looking, is the only place they're not looking. In Acts chapter 4, did I say Acts 4? Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. To put your faith in Jesus Christ is the safest thing you can do in the world, and the safest thing you can do for eternity. To trust the pew to hold you up, that's a good thing. To trust the floor not to give way or the ceiling to cave in, that's a good thing. But to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior is an eternal good thing. And that is the faith in which Paul is writing about here when he writes the book of Hebrews. He's not writing in faith into these other things or these other issues. He's writing about faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you know the verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all about faith. And it's all about faith in the right person. Faith in anything else is going to be vain. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at these three verses and see what the Bible tells us about faith. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, we're going to see faith defined. You want to know what faith is? What is faith? People say, well, what is faith? And a lot of times, I think we're wrong at looking at faith. We're looking at the invisible. We're looking at the unseen. But notice verse number 1 says, faith is, notice a couple of words here, faith is the substance. Now, substance is not invisible. Substance is tangible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice the evidence of things not seen. We kind of focus on the things hoped for and things not seen and fail to recognize that faith is a tangible thing. Faith is in something that there is substance for and there is evidence of. The explanation of faith in verse number 1 simply lets us know that faith changes things. Oh, the faith might be invisible, but the result of faith is tangible. James said, you want to see faith? Look at my works. Faith is tangible. It has substance. It has evidence. Let me show you my faith by my works. Look back there in John chapter 3. You know this passage too, I'm sure. But look at John chapter 3. Jesus is having an interview with Nicodemus in the first 7 verses there, telling him he must be born again. Nicodemus did not understand that because when he said be born again, he thought I got to enter into my mother's womb the second time. He couldn't grasp that concept. And really the concept is a concept of faith. You're saved by faith. And Jesus said in verse number 8 of John chapter 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Today was a fairly windy day, not as windy as some have been, but more than many. And you're outside or you're somewhere, you're driving down the road, you see the trees, the limbs moving, and you say, oh, there's wind. Well, you're not seeing wind. You're seeing the result of wind. But we call it wind. And that's not incorrect. When we talk about faith, faith is something tangible that we can see. We see the substance of it. We see the evidence of it. We don't see the faith, but we do see the faith because we see the result that it gives. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right? The Bible is preached. Someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and there is a changed life. I wouldn't give a plug nickel, an Indian nickel, any other kind of nickel, for somebody that says, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and their life does not reflect it. Now again, we've said this so many times. Thank God we're not the salvation inspector. We're not the saved police. But it's simply this. The Bible tells us that when faith enters in, a change is made in the life. And those of you that have trusted Christ as Savior can testify to that. Faith has made a difference. Faith has made a change. There is substance to it. There is evidence of it. It's not completely invisible. We've seen it. The explanation of faith. It's not just wishful thinking. We have prayed and asked God to heal people. We pray by faith. We come to God by faith. And we see God answer. Faith shows itself in the changes that are made. We prayed for circumstances. We prayed for many years when we were on Madison Avenue for a new church building. Look where we are now. That is an evidence and a substance of faith. You can't explain it any other way. No. I'd like to take credit and say, I am such a financial and something mastermind and genius that I had this in the back of my head all along, that one day we would be in this million-dollar building that we paid so little for and have it for years. I'd like to take credit for that, but no, I wouldn't. Because I don't want to take the glory that belongs to God. But you know what it is? It's a result of faith. We asked God. We saw a need. We had outgrown our building. By faith, we were asking Him. And God gave us this. Faith changes things. So there is a substance. And there is an evidence. It's not just an intangible thing. It's not just wishful thinking. That's what some people think. Faith is nothing more than wishful thinking. Well, I hope so. I'm hanging in there. No faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The kids have it down. They say, faith is just believing what God said He would do. He will never fail us. His promises are true. If we yet believe Him, His children we become. Faith is just believing this wondrous thing is done. We teach that to our kids, that faith has a result. Faith has an outcome. Faith has substance. Faith has evidence. And so Paul, in writing to us, is telling us about this thing called faith, that it has a tangible element to it, and yet it is a spiritual thing. Faith is almost like your sixth. That's a hard word. Sixth, S-I-X-T-H, sixth. It's your sixth sense. Try to say that fast five times, all right? It is like your sixth sense. As a spiritual person, you've got touch and seeing and hearing and all those kind of things. But you have something a little bit farther than that. And it kind of plays on the other. We have physical eyes. We have a substance and evidence. But you know, it only sees what the light waves cause it to see. If there were not those invisible light waves, then the physical eye would see nothing. If it wasn't for sound waves, the physical ear would hear nothing. The physical is dependent on something unseen and unnoticed for it to function. Our faith might be invisible, but it is based on substance and evidence. It is based on the things that we have experienced, the things that we have accomplished. It reaches a spiritual dimension. The explanation of faith in verse number one. It is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You know why? Those of us that are mature in the faith, that's the expression we use. You know why most of the time we can get through things that younger people stress over? They say it this way, been there, done that. When someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm going through this situation or that situation or this tragedy or that thing, and I'm struggling, I can say, have faith. Have faith in God. You know why? Because having been through the Christian life for many, many years, I've experienced some of the things they're talking about or something similar to it. Now when those things hit us that are older in the faith, it's not so bad because we've seen what God has done before. It has substance. It has evidence. The explanation of faith. Then verse number two is the example of faith. Still talking about faith defined. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But then we see the examples of faith. Verse one is what faith is. Verse two is what faith does. And I like this. Notice verse two. For by it, what is it? Faith. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now, that would seem like a strange verse, and out of its context, you'd say, who in the world are they talking about? Who are the elders that received a good report? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because 16 of their names are given in the remainder of this chapter. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Well, who are they? Verse number four. By faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, through faith, Sarah. So all right, see the names that are given down to verse 20. By faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. These are the elders he's referring to in verse 2. He's saying that by faith, these elders received a good report. Down in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. There are 10 names that are given in those verses we just looked at. And then 6 more are listed in verse number 32. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, 16 examples that faith works. And you know how we know that faith works? By what happened to them. Yes, the faith might be invisible, but the substance and the evidence are tangible. What does he say about Abel? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. All right? That's his faith being shown. He says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Why was he caught up? Because of his faith. So he's emphasizing that though faith might be unseen, faith is not unseen. Faith shows itself through the life of the person that has faith. So our challenge tonight is, how well is our faith being shown to those that are around us, to those that come in contact with us? Our faith should be shown. It's great to say we have faith, but faith without works is a dead faith. And so Paul is showing these folks, these Hebrews to whom he's writing. He's looking at how faith is defined, how faith has examples. Enoch had never seen anybody translated before when he was. Noah had never seen a universal flood before, but it came. Abraham had never seen that land. It says in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. In every case, faith was rewarded, because faith caused them to do something that had substance and evidence. What does our faith make us do? What change does faith wrought in our life? We can say we have faith, but if there's no evidence and no substance, there's usually no faith. So the example of faith that's given here in verse number 2, what does it do? It helps us to obtain a good report. There's something different about him. There's something different about her. They're just an honest person. They're a good person. There should be a difference. Faith has substance. Faith shows evidence. Faith is defined in verse 1 and 2. And then verse number 3, faith is demonstrated. Now, we've kind of talked about that already. But having defined faith in verse 1 and 2, then Paul goes on to show us the demonstration of faith. We already mentioned Abel and Enoch, 16 names that are listed there. And then, I always hesitate to go there because these 16 examples are great examples of faith that had a positive result. But notice down in verse 35 of Hebrews 11, these are the parts we don't want to read. He said, beginning in verse 33, there were those who subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's probably a reference to Daniel, who's not been mentioned here. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. All these were evidences of faith. Substance of faith. But then, it says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, in bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. It's kind of a contradiction here that he mentions these 16 people that by faith accomplished great things, and then says there were others who he does not name who also had great faith, but their faith did not lead them to great victories as we would account them, but great testimonies, being put to death, being martyrs, being exiled, being persecuted for the name of Christ and the cause of Christ. And all these, Paul tells us, are a result of faith. It has substance. It has evidence. We can see it, the examples of faith. He demonstrates it with these different people, but notice if you would, back at verse number 3, before he gets to Enoch and Abel and Abraham and Moses and all these others, he says in verse number 3, through faith we. Through faith, we. Before he gets to those heroes of the faith, we call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Faith. And those names that are listed there and those names that are not listed there. But before he gets to those, when he wants to give a demonstration of faith, he says, by faith, we. He's using you as an example. He's using us as an example of faith. How do we exercise that faith? The Bible says that faith takes us back. In verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now there's substance and evidence to that faith, is there not? When we talk about God being the creator of the world, that He made it out of nothing, yes, it takes faith, but the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. So we have faith in something that there is substance and evidence of. I appreciate men like Henry Morris and Ken Ham. These guys that have the Creation Institute, Creation Research, the Ark down there in Kentucky. I've been there, I think, 2 times now and walked through that huge replica of Noah's Ark. And can I tell you, I believe that Noah's Ark existed. And I believe there was a universal flood. And I believe that 7 of every unclean animal and 2 of every clean animal got on that boat with Noah and his family. I believe all that. And you know what? I don't believe it because I've been to the Ark. I don't believe it because Ken Ham told me so. Now, I'm not dismissing their ministry or what they're doing. I'm saying this, I believe it by faith. The Bible declares it. I believed it before I ever saw that ark down there. So we were having a discussion the other night, Sunday night going on, I forget why we were discussing this, but somebody's talking about the ark over in Turkey, up on the mountain. They found it 7, 8, 9 different times in different places. Back in the 50s, somebody came out with a book, we found the ark. In the 70s, somebody wrote a new book. We found the ark. They keep finding the ark. But according to the books, they can't go see it because the Russians won't let them or the Turkeys won't let the Turkeys. The Turkanians, whatever they are, won't let us go. But they won't get it. It doesn't matter. I don't have to see it. I don't need pictures of it. I don't need a description of it. I believe it. I believe it by faith. And that's what the Bible's talking about. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Notice 2 words that are in that verse right there. By faith. I do not disparage science. But science is still trying to get it right. They're doing the best they can. You know, the problem with science is scientists. If it weren't for scientists, science would be fine. Scientists are humans that are involved in trying to discover science. And every one of them has an ulterior motive in what they're looking for. They have an agenda. They've already decided what they want to find, so they're looking for the data that supports what they already want to find. You know, for a millennia and a half, from when Paul wrote Hebrews chapter 11, for 1,800 years, everybody just assumed that the Bible was right. That the heavens were framed by God. But it took somebody, of course you know his name, Charles Darwin, Origin of the Species, it came somebody to produce a hoax that gave everybody the reason they wanted to not to have to believe in God. And that's the whole basis for evolution, is to find a reason for the existence of man outside of God. And it took that long for somebody to come up with something. Before that, everybody just laughed at it. But eventually, somebody came up with that theory that's still today nothing more than a theory, but people have jumped onto it wholeheartedly. Science disproves it over and over and over again, depending on the scientist that's doing it. But the Bible says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know why this building is still standing right now, 40 years after it was built, 45 years after it was built, with ne'er a flaw in it? There's very few things that were not built good. You know why? Because it was framed right. The framing is key. The decoration's nice. It's pretty. But the framing is the key. That's what we call it, the foundation. But the framework. When somebody's building a house, they better put a lot of care into the framing of it. You can't cut corners on the framing. Doesn't matter how well you decorate it and how lavish you look at, make it look afterward and how you paint it when it's done. If that framework wasn't done good, you're in trouble. And the Bible says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God put this whole thing together. And we believe it by faith. Faith has evidence. We're looking at it. Faith has substance. We can touch it. Faith is not just an invisible, hope-so, wishful thinking kind of thing. It has evidence and substance. Notice at the end of verse 3 says this, "So the things which are seen were not made by of things which do appear." God did not need anything to make something. God could make something out of nothing. So trying to trace it back. You remember, if you're my age when you were in school, they had the chart. They took it out years later because I remember talking with somebody visiting church and going, sitting down, talk with them, and they were struggling with creation versus evolution. They were a Christian, but they were struggling because they'd been taught all their life, been taught that we came up from the Cro-Magnon man and the Piltdown man and all these other kind of things. And you remember those charts when you and I were in school? We had that little chart that showed the ape, and it slowly evolved into the grown ape. All right? The one standing upright and all this. And had all these different Piltdown man and Cro-Magnon and all those other ones in between. Well, that chart got thrown out of science books after a few decades because they realized it was nothing but a hoax. They found out that the DNA testing wasn't right. They found out that some of those men had been put together by fragments that were not human whatsoever. So they had to pitch that whole thing. But for decades, science taught. It was scientifically proved that man came from apes. The Bible says, things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I've said this before. Some scientists said, we're going to create life. We're going to make life. And we can show that man could do it as well as God. And they said, all right, your challenge is on. Go ahead. So they went and got some dirt. And the guy said, hold it. Well, no dirt. You got to make your own dirt. You can't start with something that's already there. And that's what you can't beat evolution. It starts with a big bang. Something was there that banged, that started all this stuff. And I'm not a scientifically minded guy, but I've read enough of that stuff that I just read this and think, this takes a lot of faith to believe that all that stuff happened the way they happened. I mean, everything you and I do with our fingers and our hands and our ears and our nose and our eyes and everything. And to think that it slowly evolved over eons. I mean, where was our one-eyed ancestor? I know, the Cyclops. All right, where was the ancestor with the nose that was upside down? You know, and evolution found out every time it rained, he almost drowned. So the next ones were born with it correct. You know, where are those missing links, as they call it? They're not there. They're not there. God formed from the dust of the earth a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's a lot easier to believe. And it's not just a wishful thinking thing. There's an evidence of it all around us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand. Oh, we may never accomplish what Abel and Enoch and Moses and Noah and Sarah and Joseph and Isaac and Jeff, we might never accomplish what they did, but you know what? The same faith gives us the assurance that we can believe God and believe what He says. We might not have the supernatural experience of Enoch being caught up and translated, but we can still believe God. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The evidence of faith. Faith is defined. Faith is demonstrated. Faith is a very real thing. How's your faith tonight? When you read something in the Bible that sounds unreasonable to you, how is your faith? When you read something in Scripture that seems unbelievable, and I don't know about you, but I read those fairly often, something that is unbelievable, and I don't mean supernaturally unbelievable per se, but just something like, no, that didn't happen, or that couldn't happen, or why would that have happened? When I'm reading it, questions come into my mind. But you know what faith does? It always takes me back to the answer. Faith is substance and evidence of the things not seen. We need to learn to exercise our faith and be known by our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.